Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is national baseball writer Jason Stark, but before we talk to Jason, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America, and that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now let's get to the conversation with national baseball writer Jason Stark. Well, Jason, last time we talked, you were with ESPN, and now you're on your own, and you've always done such a great job writing about baseball. So, what have you thought about this season overall? And of course, you know, your role has changed in the way that you cover baseball, you look at baseball. So, you know, what kind of attitude do you have about the whole season?
All right, well, I guess, first off, we might as well talk about me. That's what you're getting at, right, John?
Right. Yeah, why not?
I've had an interesting season. It's been different. It's been a long time since the baseball season basically went on without me, right? Because I have this limbo period where, you know, I'm still getting paid by ESPN, but I'm obviously not writing for ESPN or appearing on TV for ESPN. I don't get to express it that way, but thank God for social media, because I haven't stopped loving baseball. I haven't stopped watching a ton of baseball. I haven't stopped getting up every day and keeping track of all the things that interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I at least social media, Twitter and Facebook, give me an outlet to express it once in a while, in short, little, fun bursts. And it has really helped to remind me of what I love most about baseball, is that every day is different and unpredictable. And my mom used to tell me all the time, you should write a book and call it I Never Saw That Before. And there are just so many days during the baseball season when you get that I Never Saw That Before rush. So that's what keeps me going and keeps me interested. And my love affair with the sport that I've spent my lifetime covering hasn't dipped or abated in any way.
Well, unfortunately for Giants fans, it's not, I haven't seen this before. It's, I did see that before, and I don't like what I'm seeing, because
yeah,
this entire season has really been a disappointment, of course, for the Giants. It's so surprising in a lot of ways. I mean, take us back to the beginning, before the season started, what you thought of the Giants, and now from what you've seen this season.
Well, you know, I did not pick the Giants to be a playoff team. And, you know, my season preview this year for ESPN was, rather than pick the team that was going to win the World Series, because that doesn't work out very well, it was to look at every team and give a reason why they couldn't possibly win the World Series. And with the Giants, there were several choices, but one of the things that terrified me was their outfield, and how, when you looked at their outfield, between questions in left and injury history in Span and Pence, the terrifying prospect that this could be the least productive outfield in baseball, and that's what's happened. You know, some of the other things you would never have expected. I didn't know Mad Bum was going to go ride a dirt bike.
Right.
Like, when you do these preseason predictions, you never see stuff like that go.
No.
But if it could go wrong, it has gone wrong. And, you know, one of the things that has really stuck out to me the most, and has stuck out to people inside the Giants, too, is when they looked at last season, they regarded the first half as being what they thought they were, and the second half as being the fluke or the aberration. Now it turns out that the first half was the aberration, and the second half
right.
was what they were, and it's what they've been this year. I mean, they're 35 games under 500 dating back to the 2016 All-Star break. They're 65 and 100. And they couldn't score runs in the second half last year, and they can't score runs this year. There's just not enough thump there. They're just it's shocking for a team where you thought like a year ago this was one of the best lineups in the league, up and down, right? And they can't score. They can't hit the ball out of the park. And so this was not an issue that adding a closer right, could fix. That just, quote-unquote, fixing the bullpen could repair. And it just feels like everything's kind of steamrolled from there.
Well, they get Melanson, and that hasn't worked out too well because he hasn't been healthy, and even when he has been, he hasn't been the shutdown closer that they paid for. And you kind of knew it would be tough in left field. You know, you start out the year, and in spring training, they're looking at Jared Parker and Mack Williamson, and, you know, Parker gets hurt, and Williamson never really pans out. Austin Slater was looking good out there, but then he gets hurt, so it's been a revolving door. But, Jason, you know, I look at this team, and I say that in the past, they can kind of get away with not scoring so many runs, but this year, you always turn around, it seems, and they're down 4-0 or 5-0, and it's not just right. Bumgarner not being there, but, you know, others have disappointed. I think Johnny Cueto, Jeff Samardzija, they haven't been as good as you thought they were going to be, and now, when you're getting closer to the trade deadline, how difficult will it be to move those guys because they're not pitching that well, and right now, Cueto's on the DL with blister problems.
Well, I totally agree with that. I think if you go up and down the roster, it's hard to figure out which Giants are attractive for other clubs. And, you know, you combine that with a front office that really does have an affection for its players and a fan base that has an affection for the guys that have won. And this is really complicated. You know, you have some players here that you know are winners. And, all right, you don't want to subtract those guys. But then the guys that you do want to subtract, you know, what could you possibly get from them? I've always thought that Johnny Cueto's complicated contract made him maybe the most difficult starting pitcher in baseball to trade because were you trading for a guy who was a rental because he was going to opt out? Or were you trading for a guy who had 4 years, $89 million left beyond this year?
Right.
I don't know how you could value that player without having an extensive conversation with his agent about whether he wanted to be there. And now he's hurt anyway, so I think it's kind of a moot point. I actually thought, I mean, I've seen the Giants twice this year. I was out in San Francisco in April, and I saw them when they were in Philly. And I thought at the time, like, Matt Moore could be an interesting piece. But what are you going to get for a guy with a 6 ERA? That's not working out real well either. Jeff Samardzija, you mentioned him, has got, it's 3 years, $54 million left after this year. And a 5 ERA, and so I he's always been a guy who enticed you with his arm and his competitive spirit, and there are a lot of things to like about him, but it hasn't always translated into performance. So I would say, unless you're comfortable trading those guys just to get out from under the money, which is going to be really difficult, you're probably best off keeping them and hoping that they reestablish some value for you or somebody else down the road. And yeah. They're in a really difficult position.
They are. And, you know, so you wonder who's going, but, You know who's definitely staying. I mean, there are guys that are untouchable, like Madison Bumgarner or Buster Posey. And let's start with Bumgarner and his return, because he looked pretty good. I mean, you know, he gave up 3 runs. He gave up some home runs. I don't know if he was as sharp as he normally would, but I think a lot of people in the Giants organization are real excited that he came back this soon, because, I mean, you wondered if he'd even be back till August. You wondered when he fell off the dirt bike if that could be a career-ending injury. I mean, what were your thoughts about Bumgarner and even the comeback? Because is it wise to come back when he did? Some people think, why are you rushing back to pitch for a team like this?
Yeah. Well, when he goes out there and his first inning off the DL and strikes out the side, you're thinking, he's back.
Right.
I don't feel like it's a smart thing to jump to those types of conclusions based on one trip to the mound.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now, I understand what he means to the group. There's no disputing the fact that when he's on your team, when he's on your active roster, and especially when he's in the lineup or on the mound, it feels like all is right in the world. But I just want to remind you that we're in mid-July, and the Giants still have not won a single game that Madison Bumgarner started.
No.
I know there's only been 5 of them, but
right.
That's incredible. Like, when you start thinking about the season and what's likely to happen, you would never envision that. Right? You'd think, well, it'll be 20 games over 500 when he starts. And then we'll see how they do the rest of the time. So there are a lot of unanswered questions, but anytime a guy falls on his shoulder, you always worry about what are going to be the long-term ramifications of that. So far, so good. He'll give you whatever he's got, but I would just say stay tuned on this.
We'll have more with Jason Stark right after this. The next time you're on your way to a Giants game, stop by Town's End Restaurant and Bakery for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., or for brunch on the weekend from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Celebrating their 26th year, family-run and cozy, Town's End Restaurant and Bakery captures the spirit of San Francisco with homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. They're serving cage-free Petaluma eggs and have been organic since well before organic became mainstream. Consistent quality, 4-star Google reviews, and great service from loyal employees that have been there for over 20 years. Town's End Restaurant and Bakery, a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park, right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. Buster Posey is having a great year. I mean, at the plate, you look at him right now, he's third in the league in hitting, 328. I mean, his catching is phenomenal, maybe at the top of his game right now defensively. But, you know, the thing that is strange is when you look at the RBI total, at this point, mid-July, 37 RBIs. He got off to a slow start in that area. You know, there haven't been many guys on base, I guess, when he's had, you know, the opportunity to drive them in. Maybe he's not always coming through. I know his batting average with men in scoring position isn't that high, but to have half the number, basically half the number of the leader, Nolan Arenado, in that category, that's bizarre. I don't know if that tells us about him and, you know, he's having trouble in that area, or is this because the team's so bad? I mean, that's just an unusual number for a guy who should be in the upper echelon in that category.
Right, but in the case of a player as good as Buster Posey, a hitter as good as Buster Posey, this is a reminder why RBIs don't mean what they used to mean in baseball, because you can't drive in runs when you're coming to the plate with nobody on base, right? And, like, he hasn't been good with men in scoring position, but the Giants rank next to last in the league in on base, ahead of only the Padres. And at the top of the order, I mean, they just don't get enough guys on in front of him. And so, I feel like the whole team seems like it goes through this, is when those opportunities come along, a lineup full of guys who have always been great at situational baseball, it seems like they feel the weight of those situations in a way they never did before, because they're so much more infrequent. And, I mean, the disparity between Buster's numbers with runners in scoring position, men on base versus nobody on, tells you that even he's felt it, and I find that amazing.
That's part one of the conversation with Jason Stark. We'll have part two coming up on Wednesday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.